Welcome back to Air Talk on KPCC. Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle. Well, it appears to be the consensus of political headline writers that California Senator Kamala Harris was the breakout star in Miami for the second night of the Democratic presidential debates. But there was more to last night than Harris's now widely shared attack on Joe Biden about his record of opposing school busing. Issues like Medicare for All, gun control, and immigration also exposed some cracks between these candidates. And I want to dive in with our panel. Matt Rodriguez is with me, Democratic strategist and founder and chief executive officer of Rodriguez Strategies. He's a former senior Obama advisor. And I'm going to start quickly off the top here, Matt. Your reaction. This was a rowdy bunch last night, much rowdier than the first night. Yeah. Were you surprised?
I was surprised. They didn't seem to have a lot of control of the debate early. I always think of this because I'm a political hack, so I watch debates. I've been to a bunch, obviously, and you sort of do this for a living. But I do wonder what regular voters were thinking, because I found it actually kind of painful, to be perfectly honest.
It turned me off.
Yeah, it's sort of just like, you know, cats or fingernails on a blackboard. Really, it wasn't so much substantive. It just the crosstalk is one thing once or twice, but it was just sort of constant, and they just never seemed to get control. At least for the first 20 or 30 minutes, things calmed down a little bit after that. So, just from an appealing point of view, I was like, "Oh my god, this is hard to watch." As far as the debate went itself, once it settled down a little bit, I think there was a lot more substance to it, and I do think that it ended up being actually a pretty good debate. I personally thought the first debate was a little bit more substantive and a little bit better, but the bigger names were there last night, and so you're getting sort of bigger headlines, and it was a bigger audience. And obviously, Biden being there in Harris's moment is dictating a lot of the news today. And I know we'll get into this a little bit more, but I think there are a lot more landmines that were laid last night. And I think people are kind of overrating. I don't want to be a wet blanket on Harris, but I think people are kind of overrating that moment without having a sense of what the actual data is going to be coming out of that. So
yeah, and whether it's really going to make voters sit up and take notice, or it just kind of makes her lead a single news cycle. Sean Walsh is on the line, Republican political analyst and partner at Wilson Walsh Consulting in San Francisco. He's a former advisor to California Governors Pete Wilson and Arnold Schwarzenegger, also former staffer for Presidents Reagan and H.W. Bush. Sean, there was the theme that returned tonight, and it made sense because Bernie Sanders was on the stage, was the idea about whether Democrats can win with a socialism message. Did you draw any conclusions from the way candidates were treating Bernie Sanders last night, or the way that topic came up?
Well, I think Republicans were ecstatic with the way the debate resulted. You had every Democrat on that stage basically saying we want socialized medicine. You had, Obama doing some weak defense of trying to do Obamacare, and he got wrapped around the axle.
Biden doing a weak defense, you mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of Obamacare, which I think, honestly, that's probably his strongest case that he should make. Then the other issue, too, is that everybody said anybody who comes to this country illegally, they get the full benefits of health care that the United States can offer as well. It was, the candy man. It was a casting call for everybody to come to the country. So if you want to draw a strong contrast, I think this, this helps to shade a little bit of the dreamer issue. And it goes to an issue of not about refugees, but it just goes to the fact that we have no borders and we're going to give everybody the benefits that this country has. And it's going to cost a lot of money. So Republicans will like that contrast.
Julian Castro responded to folks accusing him of wanting no borders yesterday, saying that that's not his policy. He was the candidate on the first night who really pushed the idea of decriminalizing crossing the border without authorization. To respond to that, Sean, I want to play Kirsten Gillibrand. She really jumped in with, I think, a defense of where the Democrats are going. She followed Bernie Sanders, a really fiery windup that he had about it's time to take on private health insurance. It's time to, have a revolution in America. And she's trying to argue that Democrats can have capitalism, but the problem is really corruption, or the way she's framing it, greed.
The debate we're having in our party right now is confusing because the truth is there's a big difference between capitalism on the one hand and greed on the other. And so all the things that we're trying to change is when companies care more about profits when they do about people. So if you're talking about ending gun violence, it's the greed of the NRA and the gun manufacturers that make any progress impossible. It's the greed of the insurance companies and the drug companies when we want to try to get health care as a right
Senator
and not a privilege. So there need not be disagreement in the party because, in truth, we want healthy
Senator,
capitalism.
Thank you.
We don't want corrupted capitalism.
Thank you. I
want
to be fair to all the candidates. Thank you.
Savannah Guthrie trying to take control. Sean, healthy capitalism, not the socialist message that Bernie Sanders is talking about. Do you think Gillibrand's hit on something?
No, she was all over the map on that issue. You know, she talks about gun control. She talks about insurance. She talks about pharma. And she talks about all about greed. I mean, where they're going is a way to get to single payer. And where they want to do is basically socialize medicine. And I think that will be a wonderful contrast to have in this presidential debate. If you want to make Donald Trump get reelected, go for socialized medicine where you have 180 million people that currently have private insurance and are pretty happy with that, and raise that issue about tossing them all off. And you want to make people unhappy. Their roads aren't paved. They've got a lot of infrastructure issues. And then you're going to invite the entire world in and give them health care. I just think that the Democrats are just driving right over a bridge and playing into Donald Trump's hands.
Messaging on generational differences was a big deal last night. And to talk about that, I want to bring in Mitchell McKinney, professor of communication and the director of the Political Communications Institute at the University of Missouri. Mitchell, let's listen to this clip from Eric Swalwell, congressman from the East Bay in California. He didn't really have that many shining moments in the night. He was the butt of some jokes on social media, but he did have a memorable jab at the front runner, Joe Biden.
I was 6 years old when a presidential candidate came to the California Democratic Convention and said, it's time to pass the torch to a new generation of Americans. That candidate was then Senator Joe Biden. Joe Biden was right when he said it was time to pass the torch to a new generation of Americans 32 years ago. He's still right today. If we're going to solve the issues of automation, pass the torch. If we're going to solve the issues of climate chaos, pass the torch. If we're going to solve the issue of student loan debt, pass the torch. If we're going to end gun violence for families who are fearful of sending their kids to school, pass the torch.
Vice President, would you like to sing a torch song?
I would. I'm still holding on to that torch.
I'm curious about how you think an older candidate like that can and how Biden sort of, you know, used a judo move to try to deflect that. I think you could argue ageist comment by Eric Swalwell.
Certainly, I think that would have perhaps been one more effective way for Vice President Biden to respond. Yet he really sort of missed. I was surprised that he missed the opportunity, particularly that moment. And we could go back to Kamala Harris's questioning and raising the issue of Biden's record on race and his record in the Senate, where and other moments where he seemed a bit surprised or unwilling to respond directly. Actually, on the age issue, I was reminded of Ronald Reagan in his reelection in the second debate with Walter Mondale, where it was clear that Reagan because that issue had been raised, and it was clear that Reagan was very prepared that he would not make age an issue of his opponent, his youth and inexperienced opponent.
Yeah, that was a great laugh line that Reagan had in that debate, certainly. And you kind of felt maybe Biden could have had more of a ready defense for that.
And exactly. Again, several moments throughout the debate where I thought, now, clearly, these are matters that have been raised on the trail. Others leading up to this debate have raised these issues. And how will Biden respond? Where either he passed, he seemed surprised. You know, another moment, a historical moment back to other debates, although Biden didn't check his watch last night, I was reminded on two or three occasions of where he was so eager to cede his time or to really jump ahead of the moderator to give back time. time to claim his time was up.
That was a really strange phenomenon, yeah, that we saw. And we're going to get to that right after this break when we saw the clash between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden about the issue of him working with segregationists and opposing busing to integrate schools. When he responded, he gave up time, which you just never see on a debate stage. Going to get back to it with our political panelists, Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle, Sean Walsh on the line, Matt Rodriguez, and Mitchell McKinney with the University of Missouri. Back after this short break. Libby Denkman here with you for just a few more minutes on Air Talk, then Film Week coming up next. John Horn will be taking the seat while Larry's away. Senator Kamala Harris had a clear objective last night: go after the front runner, Joe Biden. She told him his comments about working with segregationists early in his career were personally painful, and Harris brought in her own experience with school busing to this debate.
I do not believe you are a racist, and I agree with you when you commit yourself to the importance of finding common ground. But I also believe, and it's personal and it was hurtful, to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations and career on the segregation of race in this country. You also worked with them to oppose busing. And, you know, there was a little girl in California who was part of the second class to integrate her public schools. And she was bused to school every day. And that little girl was me.
Matt Rodriguez, I want to get your reaction to it, but I just also want to play Biden's response here. The former vice president said that Harris mischaracterized his position. He did not praise segregationists, and he supported civil rights as a public defender. In response to busing, he and Senator Harris had this exchange.
I did not oppose busing in America. What I opposed is busing ordered by the Department of Education. That's what I opposed.
Well,
I
there
did
was
not
a failure of states to integrate public schools in America. I was part of the second class to integrate Berkeley, California public schools almost two decades after Brown v. Board of Education.
Because your city council made that decision. It was a local decision.
So that's where the federal government must step in. That's why we have the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. The Equality Act. That's why we need to pass the ERA, because there are moments in history where states fail to preserve the civil rights of all people.
What is this about, Matt?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, that line was it was a planned attack on Biden. So I think that, and she's already selling T-shirts. So they had the whole thing lined up of like.
And she had brought it up on the stump before.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this wasn't a new attack.
No, I thought Biden did not handle it well, and I was somewhat surprised because he had to have known that hit was coming. You had an African American female up there. You knew that this was going to come, and she shines in these types of moments. That's her thing. She's a prosecutor, and this is her thing. And he just didn't seem prepared or concise, especially for a guy who's been doing this for 40 or 45 years. So I was surprised at how weak he sounded and how evasive. And then he sort of just let the thing go, as you'd mentioned before.
He said, my time's up. I'm sorry.
My time up is gone. And I think if you're going to be Biden, you know, Biden is what he is selling is strength, experience and ability. I've done this. I can do this. And I think you can't get kind of pushed around in a debate setting. And I think there was a way to answer that question somewhat indignantly, to be like, I'm not going to be, you know, I'll let my record speak for itself. And his record with he's got Obama. That's the thing that he has. And he needs to. I thought.
But he's not relitigating Obama. He's relitigating the 70s and 80s. And oh, gosh, we didn't even get to Anita Hill.
But no, exactly. But that's why I think he needs an answer to those questions. He needs to pivot and move away. And to me, he needs to be saying something along the lines of, I'm not going to be lectured on this. I'm the guy who was working with the first African-American president. We did this, 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 and this. And I think that him getting kind of caught up in this kind of back and forth on busing from 40 or 45 years ago, there's nothing there for him. He needs to be able to answer that one time, move to something along the lines of either tying himself to Obama or his record, and he needs to move on and look strong. And he just hemmed and hawed. And if you're going to be the front runner, who's not the most dynamic front runner, but you're working on experience, you have to be more prepared for that. And I just was surprised at how kind of shaky he sounded, because he had to have known that was coming. So
and
I thought it was a weak
hit. Still defending the idea that the federal government shouldn't step in and overstep local control on, you know, busing. And busing is a controversial policy. It's not as though that's a simple yes or no, that busing is positive. But the idea that he's saying that the federal government doesn't have a role in combating segregation, that seemed to be his position last
night. Well, when you're explaining, you're losing. Now, I will say, though, that this is where I take a little bit of not umbrage, but I would be in a bit of a different position than where all the headlines right now are about this and this big moment. That's classic press. Like, we don't know where this is going to be with the voters. Like, we're supposed to be analysts, not saying like, this is the bitch, there's a big star, this is Biden was really hurt. We don't know that. We need to see where the polling, every time Biden has stepped into something because the press access of DC and New York says so, that's not borne out in the polls. And I actually was talking to a pollster last night, a couple of them, they did a 225 online sample as well as live groups in Las Vegas. And Kamala did well. She did very well. Her numbers went up. But Biden only lost about 4 points in the horse race overall. And his favorables actually went up during the night. And they went up even among African-Americans because they saw him being attacked. And they know that he is the Obama person up there. So I think we have to wait to see what the voters actually think, and not just, you know, who's running on CNN or MSNBC or Fox and sort of opining and trying to make this a bigger story than it is. I think Kamala had a good night. She did well. But I think we should wait a couple of days to see where the actual numbers and what the voters actually have to say about this, because I think it's going to be a little bit more nuanced than just the kind of headlines that are out there right now.
Yeah. A lot of comments about, wow, if she can take on Biden like this, what would she do against Trump? Very, very premature for stuff like that. Just in the last 30 or 40 seconds that we have here, Kirsten Gillibrand had a lot of airtime, I felt, but didn't exactly break through, even when she was, standing on very firm ground, like her work to protect a woman's right to choose. She brought up the Hyde Amendment, but didn't choose to go after Biden on his recent support for preventing federal funding through Medicare for and Medicaid for abortion. Surprised that she didn't decide to make that point.
And it's not quite clear why she's running exactly. She just doesn't seem to, you know, Warren's got a theme, Kamala's got a theme, Biden's got a theme. I'm just not sure exactly what she's doing. And she's felt to me a little bit like she's flailing to try to find an issue that she can really hold on to.
Yeah, Matt Rodriguez, Democratic strategist, founder of Rodriguez Strategies. You also heard Sean T. Walsh with Wilson Walsh Consulting and Mitchell McKinney with the University of Missouri. Film Week is up next.